It's time for phenology. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And our phenology report this week is bifurcated because our week was bifurcated. We were basking in sunshine and warm weather. I have notes from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that are just, you know, they sound like October. The little meadowhawk dragonflies were out flying around. The hoary alyssum and tansy and the little Johnny jump up pansies and dandelions and all of these flowers that were doing just fine. You know, everything was just looking great. And then wham, right in the face on Friday when yours truly, me and Bob, Tornado Bob, we speculated that that the storm would probably go south of us, as it often does. And we talked about all the different computer models that sort of predict storm tracks and how they weren't agreeing with one another. And we thought, well, you know, usually these things kind of slide a little bit south of us, and Aiken is on the north edge of the storm, and whoa, did we get that one wrong? Look outside. It should answer your question. Yeah. But there were all these sightings, you know, last week, just a lot of things going on, interesting stuff. I saw, I was working on putting in a new chimney for my new wood stove, and I was up on the roof of the house, minding my own business. It was delightful, warm, and I could hear ravens calling. And I started looking around for them, and when I did finally find them, they were just specks way, way, way up in the sky. And I don't know if they were the local pair. I suspect they were, but they were very, very high. The interesting thing was that their calls were coming through loud and clear, just crisp. So it was a still, quiet day, and I could hear them and watch them. And oftentimes when they're up that high, they'll have some aerobatic flying. I've seen them make these dives and then pull out of the dive and then kind of gain a little altitude and then make a dive again and then pull out of the dive. And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. It's not as though they were hunting or looking for anything in particular, but they have these unbelievable moments up there when they look like they're just purely having fun. And I don't know if you can ascribe fun to animals, but boy, if you can't, then they're it's pretty hard to explain what a raven is doing up there when he's just floating around enjoying the scene. Also, bald eagles. My neighbor was lucky enough to shoot a deer. His granddaughter came up, and for the first time in her life, she went deer hunting, and she got a deer. So that was pretty exciting for both of them. And some of that eviscera ended up feeding the eagles, and I was over at the neighbor's, and we were talking a little bit, and the eagles were sitting far off in a tree in a big white pine waiting for us to get out of the way so that they could swoop in and have a little of that tasty food. We also saw that same day, that was on, I think it was on Thursday, it might have been Wednesday, but it one of those days we saw Northern Harrier, a male Northern Harrier, the silvery one. And I talked to Marvin about that, and he said that the harriers were actually still there on Friday morning when the storms came. He was watching them on Friday morning, but he's made this point before, and I think I've probably repeated it to you, that the Northern Harriers seem to hang around until the ground is covered with snow. Once the ground is covered with snow, they're out of here. And I haven't seen a Northern Harrier since the snowfall. So that's kind of where that went. And, I should say, you know, I talked about the dandelions and the hoary alyssum and the tansy and all of that stuff. Well, as I was shoveling out from this minor snow event, I uncovered a vase, a pot in the yard, actually on the deck, that had these little pansies growing in them. And as I shook the snow away from the pot, I noticed that the pansies looked completely normal. They looked as though this cold hadn't done a thing to them. And that is one of the interesting things about pansies, that in the springtime, when the snow finally melts out of your yard next spring, you're going to see somewhere in your yard probably a pansy or two that have spent the winter under the snow and look none the worse for wear. I don't know if it's like hibernation or what, but they can take that cold and not have the structure of the flower degraded. I don't know how that works, but it works for them. So the other half of this phenology report, the first part was all sunny and warm and fall-like, and the second half was winter-like. And my note for Friday, snowstorm slams into Grand Rapids area, 17 and a half inches at my house in Blackberry. I had 13 inches by noon or by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I had shoveled the deck and was kind of trying to clear up some of the snow before it got too deep for my little four-wheeler and plow to handle it. And so I measured the snow. It was like 13 inches deep at 2 o'clock. And I had shoveled the deck at 2, and by the time I got done monkeying around in the yard, it was now about 5 o'clock, and there were 4 more inches of snow on the deck. And then I went out, and I wandered around the yard in my snowshoes with a measuring tape, and I just took 10 readings around my yard, out in the open, not under the trees, not in the woods, but just in the open. And the average at my house was 17.5 inches, so a lot of snow in that snowfall, and the first part of it was wet and just nasty. And when I finally got my driveway plowed, there were puddles in the driveway, and it was pretty amazing. So I started watching what was happening out there, and one of the things I noticed was that the trees, the balsams and the spruce, became these giant tapered cones of white. And that's part of the nature of those trees. They are basically, they're designed for this kind of snow loading. What happens is that as the snow loads up on the branches sort of slide down like an umbrella closing, and the snow can't stick to them because they're too steep. And not only that, but the branches then are getting support from the branches right below them. So the branches below them help carry the load, and the whole thing just kind of gets tighter and tighter until it's just the big white cones, which is what we had Saturday morning, Friday night and Saturday morning. And then the winds came and started shaking the trees and knocking off a lot of this snow. And so you notice that a lot of the spruce and balsams right now have big snow drifts at the base, and the branches are pretty much free of snow, at least in those areas where the wind was able to get them. Down in the forest and underneath in some places, the aspen forest around my house, down below, you have all of these, you have these big white cones of balsams and white spruce that are just waiting for wind or warmth or something to shake that snow off of them. That wet, heavy snow is pretty dangerous for a lot of trees, though, especially the Norways, the Scots pine, and the white pines. And the white pines probably took it the worst of all, because they load up those big branches that stick straight out of the white pines. They load up with snow, and that wet snow stuck to them. And once you get a base kind of frozen on the needles, then all the rest of the snow doesn't slip off. It just keeps loading and loading and loading, and finally those branches just break off. So there are lots of not only branches down, but a lot of trees down. I had about half a dozen trees down over my driveway, white spruce and Scots pine mostly, a couple of tag alders, but got rid of those so that the plow guy could get in there and get things cleaned up. So a pretty different kind of a landscape after the snowfall. And I started watching my feeder, and of course, everybody wanted to come in and eat. I had a huge flock of chickadees. I had purple finches. I had red-bellied woodpeckers, downy, hairy, and pileated woodpeckers coming. I had purple finches and gold finches. I had the nuthatches, both white-breasted and red-breasted nuthatches, and just a regular parade of birds to the bird feeder. Blue jays, everybody was there, and everybody was feasting during that heavy snow. They were just looking for, pardon me, a meal when things got pretty bad. Sunday morning, after everything calmed down, I went for a hike, and I took my snowshoes and wandered out toward the lake and got out there, and the lake was frozen. So it must have frozen Saturday night. Probably it was calm and cold on Saturday night. And Sunday morning, it was a nice coat of ice. And I thought, oh, it's perfect. It's flat and smooth, and the whole lake is frozen. It looks like a sheet of glass. I better walk out there and see how thick it is. Well, there's a sedge meadow along the edge of the lake that leads out to the lake, and it's about 40 feet wide, and all of those sedges and grasses in there and the cattails and everything else were just heaped with snow. And I started walking through it on my snowshoes, and I was about 10 feet from shore when my snowshoes suddenly weighed about 25 pounds each because they were water-soaked snow. I could see that the water underneath all of that sedge and the snow was water, not ice. And I didn't get my feet wet, but my snowshoes certainly got heavy, and I slogged my way back to shore. I almost fell down a couple times, and the dog was not much help. I got up on shore, and I kicked the snowshoes off and beat them against a tree until they were back to normal weight so I could actually walk in them again. And now, if I'm going to do any skating on Crooked Lake, I think I'm going to have to wear hip boots to get out to the ice. But I suspect that with the warm weather, the ice probably isn't safe yet anyway. So remember, if you're going to skate, you need 2 inches of good, solid, clear ice. That's our Phenology Report for this week. As always, if you have comments or questions or observations you'd like to share, please send them along. We like to hear from you.